I wonder what you would do if unexpectedly the king came knocking at your front door. It'd be one of those occasions that we read about in the newspapers or whatever, of when the car breaks down or something, and the chauffeur thinks, where can we go for help? And suddenly there's a knock at your door, a ring at your doorbell, and if there's a ring at my doorbell, the dog would go absolutely crazy. But aside of shocking Charles would cook with a Labrador. But there'd be a ring at the doorbell, what would you do? You'd get into a flummox, probably. You'd think, I haven't hoovered the house for a couple of days yet. My shoes aren't polished. I've got nothing in the fridge. If you come to my house unexpectedly, there might not even be any milk in the fridge if I don't drink milk. So as a result, if you suddenly want a cup of tea, then I might not be able to provide that. Not to be able to provide that for the king. Ooh, I would feel pretty useless about myself. What would you do if the King of Kings came knocking on your door? What would you do if the Lord of Lords stood there, coming to you? Well, in our Old Testament reading, Abraham does something rather surprising. We lose track of how unsurprising his first reaction is, because in our society it is not so. We are told that Abraham runs to the Lord. He calls him the Lord, but it's three persons representing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Runs to the three persons, the Lord. People like Abraham did not run. He was a person of very high status. He was a successful farmer. He had wealth. He had property around him. Him running would just be seen as something as being quite exceptional. Who did run around? Well, children, no doubt, probably ran around. But it was the role of the servants to run. It was the role of the servants to go out and get things and to do things and to make sure everything was just so. They ran, not people like Abraham, not patriarchs, and men of renown, not men who were out there to impress others around him. But we are told that Abraham ran to the Lord and then bowed to the ground, an act of deep humility. Abraham runs to the person whose lordship he recognizes and humbles himself to it. Now, as I said, Abraham is no ordinary person. He's rich, he's powerful, he has servants. But in this instance, he seems to be doing everything himself. He's running off, getting a car. He's running off, giving instructions. And he does this in order to welcome the travelers, the unexpected guests, provide hospitality fitting for the Lord. In all he does, Abraham provides a pattern of true hospitality to attend to and address the need of others. Hospitality is about being outward looking and welcoming. Hospitality is about being focused on others, not about being focused on oneself. Dare I say it? This is where Martha gets it wrong in our well-known gospel reading. When she comes to plead with her friend Jesus to take her side, to tell Mary to get up and to help her and to get the meal on the table, Jesus, perhaps to the surprise of Martha, and certainly to the surprise of most of us here who relate more to Martha than Mary, does not take her side, but rather tells Martha chosen the better way. It is Mary who is humbling herself, sitting at her friend's feet and listening to him, listening and learning from him, acting as a disciple, acting as a pupil, sitting at the master's feet, listening to the teacher. So often, dinner parties can be about setting out to impress others. But actually, particularly as you get older, you realize that you're actually about spending time with one another is the most important thing to do. And enjoying time with friends, blessing one another with your company, rather than trying to upstage or outdo one another with the best dessert. To bless rather than impress. Being with the Joneses rather than keeping up with the Joneses. Abraham humbles himself and takes the role of the servant and is blessed by God for doing so, with the promise of a baby to be born to Sarah, even though it was thought that Sarah was beyond childbearing age. Mary humbles herself and sits at her friend's feet and is blessed by her friend Jesus, telling her, telling us, telling the world that she has chosen the better way. When we come to church, we are not out to impress anyone. We're not out to impress others by what we are, what we do. We're not out to impress people, and we're certainly not out to impress God. How futile would that be, to try to impress the Lord of Lords and King of Kings? Rather, we are here to humble ourselves, to pause and listen to him, to offer true hospitality by being attentive and taking the word of God into our hearts and into our lives. And when we do that, we are at one with one another. That's what makes up church. And we're with one another of all the worshippers of the past and all the worshippers to come. We're with Abraham and Mary as our guides. And we will then receive more blessings than we can imagine. It will indeed be the better way, if albeit not society's normal, impressive ways. It is the way that God wants us to